Good morning. It's good to see you again. I'm Sally Dick, retired bishop, and my presence here is just to remind you all that you're not alone and that the wider church is walking with you. And I'm so grateful to be a part of this congregation for a few weeks. I want to assure you, as we know but often need a reminder, that you are loved by God. And in all we do and all that we are, God loves us. This Sunday, Reverend Kathy LaPointe Cullop will be our guest preacher. And she may be familiar to many of you as she has been in and out of this congregation over the years. So we're privileged and very happy to have you here. And if you would now please stand for the first hymn, Gravity of Love.
I lift my eyes up to the hills. This my morning song, where my strength comes from. I lift my eyes up to the hills. This my evening song, where my help comes from. This is the gravity of love, just as the moon follows the sun. You're all around me, you're holding everything. This is the hope of every land, just as the universe expands. Your love is reaching, you're holding everything.
"It is time now," I said, "for the deepening and quieting of the spirit among the flux of happenings." Something had pestered me so much, I thought my heart would break. I mean the mechanical part. I went down in the afternoon to the sea, which held me until I grew easy. About tomorrow, who knows anything, except that it will be time again for the deepening and quieting of the spirit.
If love's first act is to listen, today I choose to love. Tell me something real, show me how you feel, I will listen. Our lives are woven together, but I get lost in me. I need a change, need to reframe my perspective. Oh, without your voice, something is missing.
Good morning. Please have a seat. Beautiful. I think our music team always puts my soul in the right place. So thank you very much. It was absolutely gorgeous. So good morning, everybody. My name is Lisa Wegley. I am a member of the table, just like you. And welcome to those who are online. Jay Phoenix is your host today. If you are joining us and you'd like to follow along in service, there's some QR codes at the end of the pews. You can go ahead and just take your phone and click there. And I believe if you're online, Jay is going to drop that bulletin into the chat. So glad that you guys are here. Of course, I do want to thank again Bishop Sally Dick for being here. This is her third Sunday. So she actually drives all the way from Napa every Sunday. But I also want to say that she does more than just be here. She actually is present with us. She checked in on me this morning. She said, "How are you doing? What's going on?" So she really is here for us, and I encourage you to talk to her. And in fact, before I go that far, I do want to also introduce and thank Kathy LaPointe. I got to remember this because I met her before she got married. Kathy LaPointe Collip. I met her when I was 15. Kathy, the boyfriend that I was dating, I married him. Isn't that crazy? So Kathy is going to speak and give a sermon today around our series, which is Agape, Love is the Answer, where we're exploring the three expressions of divine love in the Gospel of John. Okay, we have been traversing some hard times, not only here in our church, but probably in our own personal lives as well. And we have a lot of questions that are happening. And in the midst of all of this stuff that's going on, you know what the one consistent thing that I've had? Is you. I see Melissa's face. I see Denise's face. I see Jan over there. I see your faces over here. Thank you for joining me through this era, through this season. Kathy, Bishop Sally is going to help us continue this. So last Sunday, we actually had a listening session, and quite a few people came. It was about an hour long. We had childcare, and she asks us some questions. She frames it. We had some open dialogue, and we had the opportunity to write down our thoughts. And so if you missed last Sunday, please know that you can do that here this Sunday. It will be at 12:30 here in the sanctuary. We have childcare again that's there. And just come and talk. One of the things that Bishop Sally did was she posed some questions, and I thought, you know what, this was really great because we actually got to have some conversation. So I'm going to pose a question to you every Sunday until the end of June, and then we're going to work through that and share the answer. So behind you, or in front of you, I should say, in the pew, behind the envelopes, there should be like a little 3x5 card, or there's even some paper there. So if you want to go ahead and just find a 3x5 card or get a piece of paper. And every Sunday, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to let you answer it, and then I'm going to collect all the answers, and then I'm going to put a word cloud together, and then next Sunday, I'll show you guys the answers to it. This is kind of a really good way. When I saw Bishop Sally do this last Sunday, everybody had a really good conversation going. So this is kind of a way for us to have a conversation with each other. So are you guys ready for this question? All right. What do you love about worship service here at the table? And if you're online, please just go ahead and drop that into the chat. Jay will go ahead and pick that up and get that to me. So here's the question again. What do you love about worship service? I don't know about you, but I love the hairdos of our music team. You can write that down if you want. All right. In all seriousness, oh, and then actually, if you would like, I believe there's an offering plate over there, so if you would love to offer what you love about this church, you can drop it into the offering plate. You can actually leave it next to the candles if you're going to go to the prayer station. I'll walk around church, and I'll pick them up as when church is over. If you have any other questions about the process that's going on during this season of change, please feel free to reach out to Lynn. There's Lynn Edison back there. She has an email. She is the hstreetcampus@thetableumc.org. And Lynn is happy to answer any of your questions. All righty. So our last offering of godly play is June 8th. And so that's going to be coming up. So if you're a kid, you're going to get to go have some more fun still. June 15th marks our summer program. If you are a parent or a grandparent or somebody who just loves children, maybe you're a teacher, and you would like to help with the summer program, please see Kara, Debbie, and/or Debbie or Sarnit. The table... Let's see, do we have that slide yet? The Table Farm has hired one intern, 4 summer apprentices, 1 fall apprentice, and 8 fellows. And I don't know, thank you, that is pretty good. Yay! And you can see here some pictures of our apprentices, and you might recognize Jackson. So glad you're back, Jackson. I don't know if anybody's ever met Jackson, but his smile lights up a room. So thanks for coming back. And then also, if you want to join these apprentices and our fellows and our interns, every Saturday we are there out at the farm working. Please feel free to sign up for a shift. You can do that, of course, online at thetableumc.org. Game night is coming up Friday, June 6th, and that's going to be, you can find out more, I believe it's going to be here at the table, and there's more information about that on the Next Steps table outside. We also have a Pride potluck that's coming at the farm. It's going to be Saturday, June 7th, and that's from 10:30 to 12, and a bird told me that we're going to have some music. Some special guests there, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Sarnit is collaborating and working with other United Methodist churches in the area. They are gathering a team together to march in the Pride Parade, and that is going to be on Sunday, June 15th. If you're interested in marching, just get a hold of Sarnit, and he will join you, get you all the information that you need. Hospitality signups are open, so if you're interested in welcoming people, helping get service together, please go ahead and sign up. You can also reach out to Sarnit. He's got more information there. Okay, so we've got lots of events that are happening here, as you can see. Does everybody have the phone app, the church? Perfect. I see some people nodding. You can always go onto your app, and then you can also check out what's happening there. All righty. So now, go ahead and stay seated. Our music team is going to play yet another song, and this one is called Super Love. Thanks, guys.
Tears of rage, tears of grief, Palestine, Israel to Tennessee, we need a super love, need a super lover, double dutch and hula hoops, all our fears in loops and loops, we need a super love, we need a super lover, the night so child prayed, every mother far and wide lived We are super lovers tonight. So cold,
so cold.
Who among us dreams the dawn?
Who among us dreams the dawn?
Who dreamt us and oh, where have they gone? Who keeps a candle lit for their believe what you will, believe they're gonna tell you. It's naive to be a super lover, but we are super lovers.
There's no God of fire and blood. If there's a God, then God is love. We need a super love. We can be super lovers.
Tears of rage, tears of grief. Palestine, Israel to Tennessee. Tears of rage, tears of grief. Sudan, Congo to Haiti. We need a super love. We can be super lovers.
I think they did. So I'm Bob Martinez. Welcome to the table. But before I continue, that was kind of an anemic clapping and appreciation for that amazing song by our music team. Okay. Yeah, welcome on this Sunday morning of our Memorial Day weekend. At this time, I want to invite our children to move from this sanctuary to their godly place sanctuaries as our musicians help us with some walking music. I want to remind families that we receive an offering in godly play to support Mustard Seed School, a Montessori-based school for children who are part of families that are experiencing homelessness. We have loving and professional care for our youngest children just down the hall. Those who are two and under are in the loft room throughout worship, and our 3 and 4-year-olds are out on the playground on this beautiful morning. And of course, our children in elementary school, kinder through the 6th grade, will gather upstairs for godly play this morning. Thank you, Brendan. Our reading this morning comes from the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, and I'll be sharing from the New Revised Standard Version. Now, Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe.
I was afraid of that. I wanted to take a moment just to share with you that when Matt and Linda had the dream about starting the table, I was in a group with them of other clergy, and Linda Lasbergzahl was also in the group, where we were all pastors in the area working on revitalizing our churches and supporting Matt and Linda as they begin to develop. And I followed closely along the development of the table, and in fact, on your presentation Sundays, when you first opened up to the public, the young adults from the church I was serving came and staffed your Sunday school and your nursery and those kinds of things so everyone could be in worship. And so the table's always had a special place in my heart. And Linda and I have been close friends. We were close friends all of our adult lives. And so it's just really special to be with you this morning. So thank you for having me. And will you join me in prayer? Gracious and holy God, as we take some time to reflect on the scripture this morning, we ask that your Spirit would open our hearts and minds so that we might hear what we need to hear and be inspired and equipped to follow more closely in the way of Jesus today, tomorrow, and in the weeks to come. Amen. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. These words of Jesus in John 14 are very familiar words. Some of my friends have a little prayer card next to their beds, so when they go to sleep at night, these are the last words they see, and when they wake up in the morning, these are the first words they see. These are words I've often shared at memorial services or with those who are dying, as comforting words. Just a few weeks ago, I took communion to someone I loved dearly who was on hospice, and she only had a few days left. And as I served her communion, I shared these words, and she told me how comforting these words were to her. And I believe that my friend received these words as peace for the process she was going through and the life to come, but also for peace for right now, that she felt the peace of God right then as we prayed together. Every time I read these words of Jesus, it brings to mind the many, many faithful people whom I have stood beside in their journey of faith, and with families as they remember loved ones. This passage also reminds me of the faces of saints from the churches I have served over the years, and it might for you as well. I take all these memories with me. Do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. These are beautiful words. They're comforting words. They're words I sometimes struggle with because I don't always feel the comfort or the beauty of these words. And yet I know they are words of promise for today and tomorrow. This reading from John 14 is a part of what we call Jesus' farewell discourse. He is speaking these words to his disciples right before his death. This particular part of John 14 is preceded by a question from Thaddeus, who asks Jesus, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not the world?" Actually, that's the third question that Jesus received from his anxious and very worried disciples. Peter first asked, "Lord, where are you going?" And then Philip chimes in, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." And then finally Thaddeus asks, "How will we know about Jesus, about you, if you're not going to reveal yourself to the world?" Jesus already had told them, "I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you shall live." Jesus had already told them that he will never leave them, and yet they question, and they wonder, and they worry, and they want further clarification. Sounds just like me. How, Jesus, how will you reveal yourself? It is through the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, that Jesus will always be present to those who follow. Another word for the Holy Spirit is paraclete, which comes from a Greek word meaning someone who is called to come alongside of. Someone who is called to come alongside of. The Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the paraclete, is our comforter, our helper, the one who walks alongside us and teaches us and reminds us of Jesus' teachings to us and for us. Have you ever had a moment when something positive or joyful or surprising pops into your head? Maybe you're in a really difficult conversation and you're kind of going, "I don't know what to say to be helpful in this conversation," and all of a sudden something pops into your mind and it's just what needs to be said. Or perhaps you're having a really awful day and you kind of wish you could just go home and bury yourself in your bed and never see anyone again. And some scripture comes to mind which gives you comfort and helps you get through the day. Or maybe you're facing a decision and you just can't seem to figure out what is the best decision in this situation. And then all of a sudden, it becomes clear, just like that. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, who will remind you of Jesus' teachings. And I believe these are what I would call spirit moments. I've had a few of those spirit moments in my ministry, not as many as I would like, but I've had some. I remember one time, and this was in my first appointment when I was pretty green. I was serving my first church, and I was called in the middle of the night to go to the hospital, and I was tired. I was sleepy. I didn't have any caffeine. I was a Diet Pepsi fanatic in those days, but I didn't drink any before I went. And so I got to the hospital, and I met with a family of a young father who had died very unexpectedly. And so I sat with them, and I prayed with them, and I read some things from the Bible. I can't tell you what I read. I don't know what I said to them. I don't know what I prayed. But the following week, when we had the memorial service, the mom came up to me and said, "What you said was just right. It helped all of us." And I kind of nodded, but I thought to myself, this was the work of the Spirit, because I had no idea what I was doing. Thank God for the Spirit at times. When we know this truth for ourselves, when we claim the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit who walks with us in our lives, then Jesus tells us the result. It's peace. It's peace I leave with you. I do not give peace as the world gives. And, you know, peace is more than the absence of conflict. I think we all know that. But peace is here is a deeper inner state of being in the world. I think a better word actually would be shalom. Shalom is a Hebrew word with meanings about wholeness and well-being and restoration. And I think actually that's a word that works well here. Jesus brings us shalom not by fixing everything, but by walking beside us in the power of the Spirit and by showing us the way to life. While this reading from John 14 is often read at memorial services, it is also a promise of peace and shalom for today. In the Gospel of John, eternal life begins not tomorrow, it begins now, right here with us. It begins here and now when we live in relationship with God through Jesus and walking in the presence of the Holy Spirit and with each other. Many years ago, when I was a student in seminary back at Drew, and Drew was a United Methodist theological school in New Jersey, my family was here in California because I grew up in Napa. I woke up one morning when it was still really early and it was very dark, and I woke up because I was anxious. I was so anxious. My father was in California on hospice, dying from lung cancer. I had just spent the summer with him and had just returned a few weeks earlier. And I was in the middle of getting a divorce that I didn't particularly want to get. And I was anxious. I was very anxious. And so I decided to get up and go for a walk among the trees in the Drew Forest. We had a beautiful forest there. And when I got there, dawn was just breaking, and you could see the trees rise up into the sky against the breaking of the dawn. And while I didn't audibly hear any words, I felt the peace of Jesus. And so as I stood in the forest with the sun rising, I began to feel like, for the first time in months, that I was going to live through this, that it was going to be okay. I might not want to go through what I needed to go through, but I would be okay at the other side of it. And so I embraced that movement of the Spirit, and I received the peace which Jesus promises. It didn't mean that things were going to be easy or always fun. In fact, as I walked through the door of my apartment, this was before cell phones, my apartment phone began to ring, and it was my mother calling to let me know that my father had just died a few minutes earlier. I believe if we seek to follow the deeper movement of the Spirit in our lives, then peace will come, wholeness will come, shalom will come. The Spirit of Jesus's peace is found in the lives and the words of saints throughout the ages, and I want to share just two with you. Julian of Norwich wrote, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." We have a hymn that's based on these words. I struggle with these words because I don't feel like things are well sometimes, often actually, but that is the promise and the hope, that, and Juliana Norwich tried to help us understand that. And then Teresa of Avila writes, "Let nothing trouble you or frighten you. All things pass. God does not change. Patience achieves everything." I am not a patient person. I never have been, probably never will be. And I find that, I wrestle with that. But again, I appreciate the witness of St. Teresa that that's how life can be. How do we embody shalom here at the table? I think it's in part recognizing that the Holy Spirit is in each one of us, in each one of us. Look around. The Holy Spirit is in each one of us. And that we are called to live out the teachings of Jesus in all that we do. And that our discernment in how we follow in the way of Jesus is both personal and communal. It takes the community to do this. Our leaders can help guide us, but the Spirit also guides and each of us to respond. In other words, we are peace and shalom to each other. It is my hope and prayer that as we together walk the journey before us, keeping the words of Jesus and the leading of the Holy Spirit, that we will find peace and shalom, not just for the life to come, but in this very moment, because peace and shalom are the gift that is always with us. This reminds me of some words that Bishop Talbert shared at his last worship service at annual conference before he retired. As you may know, annual conference consists of all the United Methodist churches in Northern California, from Bakersfield to the Oregon border, and basically all of Nevada except for the Las Vegas area. Every year in June, the clergy and at least one layperson from each church gather for worship, to learn, and to conduct the business of the annual conference, whatever that means. In his parting sermon, Bishop Talbert shared that one of the purposes of the local church is to learn the songs of everyone, to learn the song of everyone in that local church, so that when one in our midst comes through a time of darkness and feels lost or afraid or alone or fearful, that we can walk with them by singing their song for them until they are able to sing their song for themselves. I think on an institutional level, I think this is one of the purposes of the annual conference. When a church is hurting or feels lost, we hold them in prayer. We surround them with love. Bishop Sally reminded us this morning that some of us are here because the conference loves you and because God loves you, and we're here to represent that love in person, in the living flesh. And it is our job to sing the song of that church, the song of the church of what God is calling them to be, until they are able to sing it on their own. I want you to know that the people of California, Northern California and Nevada, are holding you the table in prayer during this season of anxiety and stress and change and unknowingness. And we are singing your song while you go through this. And we want you to know you are not alone. The Spirit is with you. The presence of Jesus is with you. And the love of your siblings from California and Nevada are with you. And we will sing your song with you and for you until you are able to fully sing it again on your own. Amen.
I invite you to stand in body or in spirit and join me in a call and response prayer of confession. Let us pray together. Merciful God and wounded healer, free us from ways of being that contribute to suffering. Forgive us, O God, and guide us toward paths of justice and healing. Help us to embody your love, which knows no bounds and embraces all. Amen. The divine light shines upon all, offering grace upon grace. No matter the shadows of our past, God longs for us to experience a deeper sense of recovery, healing, and remaking. In the boundless love of the holy, may we find our wounds tended and our spirits restored. Friends, hear and receive the good news. In the embrace of the divine, we are forgiven. Our bodies are loved, and we are made new. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church throughout the generations, to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We invite you now to turn and share a symbol of peace with those nearby.
Peace of Christ be with you. In the beginning, when all was chaos, when water and earth had yet to take shape, God the sculptor, God the painter, God the creator touched the swirling mass. And God's hand separated the earth from water and the water from the sky. God touched the earth and plants turned green and fruit grew ripe. To celebrate, God threw holy fireworks into the sky, placing the stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds and all kinds of swimming beings made waves in the water. God reached to the sky and all kinds of things with wings took flight. And God said, "This is good." When everything else was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You are the one I've been imagining. You and everything you see around you is my beloved creation. And all of it is good." But it wasn't good for long, because God's people could not be faithful despite God's generosity and goodness. So God reached inside God's own heart and pulled out truth and compassion and justice and put them inside a form that people might recognize, a holy human being named Jesus. And God set Jesus on the earth to remind us of all that God had made us to be. If we would abide in God's love, as Jesus abided in God's unfolding grace.
He could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love each other. But we couldn't accept that, we couldn't agree about it, and we were afraid. The principalities and powers lure us to turn against the way made known in the life, ministry, and love of Jesus. In the end, Jesus was given away by the very people who thought they loved him best, because the challenge was too much. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table and promised them, promises us, that he would never leave us alone, but would come back and take us home with him. Like those long ago friends, we don't always understand the message Jesus brings to us or what his coming and going and coming again means to us. We can only be grateful and sing this mystery of faith. On that night, when Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover dinner, bread and wine, and he blessed it and gave thanks to God and said, I am sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together wherever you gather to remember me. Together the words Jesus taught his disciples and have been formed and reformed through the generations. This morning we will share a paraphrase of the Lord's Prayer from the New Zealand Prayer Book. Eternal Spirit,
Earth Maker,
Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven. The hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Pour out your spirit on our bodies in this moment. Pour out your spirit on the gifts before us and make these gifts the body and love of Christ. Make us, through them, Christ's body alive in the world. Amen.
I invite you to be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love in the United Methodist Church. The table is open to all people. All means all. We encourage those at home to light a candle and gather bread and juice in whatever form you might have. Please know that whether you're online or here in the sanctuary, you do not need to be a member of this church or of any denomination to participate. We are all God's children, and this is God's table open to all. We'll have two stations here in the front of the sanctuary, and one in the back of the sanctuary. Each station has freshly made bread and gluten-free crackers, and juice is in each cup. We invite you to take a piece of the bread or a cracker and dip it into the juice. Please then make your way around the sides to pray with the candles for as long as you might desire, or return to your pews whenever you are ready. Let's move together with tender care in this divine dance.
This is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you. This is God's love poured out for you. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
Loving God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery through which you reveal yourself to all of creation. May your peace make us one and call us to love one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, our hope. Amen. In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we invite you to join us in giving generously to support the ministries at the table. The generosity of our community allows us to lean in to God's unfolding call on our lives and align more deeply with God's healing love and justice. We encourage you to make a gift today by placing a check in the offering plate or by giving online at thetableumc.org. I invite us now to stand in body or spirit as our musicians send us out with a song called Give Out Your Love.
So I think many of you know this song, so we're counting on you to really sing out. We want this room to feel like a gospel choir. So we're gonna sing together during the choruses. I'll point to you, it's two notes. You'll catch on if you haven't heard it, but let's all sing together.
When I was a young girl, my mama taught me a lot. One of the things she said to me was, give all the love you got. Now I've gone out in the world, helping where I could. Love doesn't discriminate, my mama don't think it should. If you want a world that's filled with peace and harmony, open up your heart to love and spread the love you long to see. You gotta give out your love.
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 Harmony, you gotta give out your love. You gotta give out your love. And so I invite you as you go forth from this service to give out your love through the amazing love of our Lord Jesus Christ and the grace which God has given to us and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit now and forever. Amen.